One difference you will notice when you travel from the West to the East is the way we think about parents. Sorry. When I was in the Philippines a few years ago, I didn't know you guys are going to be here, but it's in my script. When I was in the Philippines a few years ago, I was in elementary school trying to teach a class, and I was trying to really learn more from them than teaching them. And so I had asked them a question. What do you want to be when you grow up? Because I wanted to know what their dreams and aspirations were. And they were reluctant at first. I guess they're not used to, you know, raising their hands and then answering the teacher. But eventually, because the teacher prodded on, they raised their hands and they, one by one, they gave me their answer. Some of them said, one girl said she wants to be a teacher. Another girl, you know, said she wants to be a nurse. A boy said, I want to be a fireman. So these answers were pretty typical. Another boy, I remember saying, I want to be a mechanic. However, one thing that I noticed that was different about them than them from the American kids is that every single one of them added something after they said that. And that is that they want to become something so that they can help their parents, so that they can take care of their family. I want to be a mechanic so that I can help my parents with my family. And that put such an impression in my head because that's exactly the way I used to think when I grew up in Korea. You see, seeing how hard your parents worked, whether it's working alongside them in the rice paddies, with the rice paddies, or mango trees, or what have you, and seeing how it is hard it is for them to provide for you, it just rises within you to want to help your parents, that you want to become somebody of worth so that you can have enough money to provide not only for yourself, not only for your own family, but also for your parents and their family, if you have extended family. And you know, that I believe is what's lacking in this particular country. That's a foreign concept to us, isn't it? When was the last time you asked a kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? And then the guy goes, well, I want to be a Superman so that I can help my parents. No. Yeah, Superman power, I understand, but helping your parents? No. You never hear that. But those people in the East, that's the way they think. It's not an East or a West thing, by the way. Well, you're an Asian man, and of course, you will think like that, but I don't think it's an East or a West thing, but it's more like a biblical thing. Because the fifth commandment that we read today says, honor your father and mother. The fifth commandment. And so let me share several things that I noticed about this particular commandment. So our outline is really simple today, and that is in your bulletin. I'm going to share four or five things that I noticed about this commandment here, and then I'll share how then we can honor our parents. Number one thing I noticed about this fifth commandment, it's the first law that deals with humanity. You see, laws number one through four have to do with God. It's pertaining to our relationship with God. And then number 5 through 10 have to do with dealing with people, dealing with humanity. And this is the first law that has to do with human beings. Now, you know what the second one is? And by the way, if you haven't been here, these laws are given in the order of importance. So the most important law is law number one. Second most important is law number two. So this is the fifth law, and so this is the fifth most important law. However, this is the number one law that has to do with people. Honor your father and mother. You know what the second law is that has to do with people? Do not murder. You know what that means? That means in God's book, us honoring our parents is more important than us not murdering somebody. To God, it is more offensive that we dishonor our parents than we killing somebody. That's what it means. That is a very building block that holds everything else up, laws number 5 through 10, us honoring our parents. You know, We make much of some men dying wrongfully in Ferguson and now in New York, and we should, because it's really indicative of the racial tension that we are feeling in our nation, and everybody has an opinion on that. But you know, we make nothing of the rebelling against parents or not taking care of them in their old age. And the Bible makes it very clear that worse than murder is you dishonoring your parents. 1 Timothy 5:8 says this, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Nursing homes in America are filled with elderlies who never get visited by their children. That's the worst evil than men, some men dying wrongfully at the hands of police officers in God's eyes. It's the first thing that we notice about this law. It's the first law that deals with humanity. Number two, this command is not conditional. It doesn't say, honor them if they're honorable people. Honor your father and mother, period. Right? It doesn't say honor them only if they're godly, only if they're good examples, only if they love you. No. Unconditional. As a matter of fact, when God gave these commandments to the Israelites, their parents were former slaves. They were uneducated, harsh, not godly at all. Because if you remember, what happened to all these older people that were over the age of 20? Every single of them died, single one of them died in the desert because of their unbelief. So these weren't godly people that Moses is saying through, well, God is saying through Moses that you shall honor them even though they are not honorable people. How honorable can these former slaves be that complained and bickered the whole time that they were there in the desert for 40 years? So you cannot say, Pastor Hong, you don't know my parents. If you knew my parents, you wouldn't tell me to honor them. I may not know your parents, but I know what the slaves were like. Right? Doesn't matter if they're honorable or not. We are commanded to honor them. Number three, this command is given to adult children. This command is not just for little children or teenagers, for adult children as well. How do we know that? Because the 10th commandment says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, or you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Kids don't have wives, right? Only adults have wives. And so we know that God is not addressing little children, but a grown man. And so this debunks those who say, well, I'm not a kid, I'm a grown man, and so I don't need to honor my parents anymore. Yes, you do. Doesn't matter your age. You may be 6 years old and your parents might be 85. You still need to honor them. Fourth thing I notice about this law, importance of family. The very first law dealing with humanity has to do with family dynamics. The most important law dealing with human beings has to do with family dynamics. Family is where we get to learn to function in the society, and that starts with learning to honor our parents. So, you show me a society where children don't honor their parents, I'll show you a society where crime rates, such as murder, rape, and robbery, are the highest. Have you seen that bear out? You show me a society where children don't honor their parents, I'll show you a society where crime rates, such as murder, rape, robbery, are the highest. And the Ten Commandments, in God's grace, are given to us to prevent that. Fifth one, notice the emphasis on dealing with the parents and not on dealing with the children. I have never noticed this for, I don't know, 30 years that I've been looking at the Bible. This is the first time that I've noticed this, and it's astounding, especially given our culture, and that is this. You see, given the context, I thought that the emphasis should be on these Israelite parents raising their children. In other words, if it were up to me, the fifth commandment that had to do, the most important commandment that had to do with people should be, parents, raise your children in a godly manner. Rear your children in the Lord, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. But that's not what it says, is it? It says, no, children, honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in this land. You know, here's what I'm saying. You go to any Christian bookstore, right, or any secular bookstore, and you go to the family section. What are most of the books written about? How to raise your children, right? I don't know how many books I've read on that. Being a youth pastor all these years, I had to read, I don't know, so many books that had to do with how to raise, and I've been teaching the parents, even before I became a parent, even before I married, I've been teaching parents how to parent. Because it's all about the next generation, isn't it? Right? Schools, same thing. Why do we care so much about the school system? Why do we so much worry or debate about the charter school, private school, and all these things? Because it's all about the next generation. Let's educate the next generation. And Christian society is no different. There are so many Christian books, Christian authors that have written about how we can become better parents so that our next generation will be different from this generation. And I don't fault that, but you know, how many books have you read? How many, give me one title of a book that has to do with how to honor the parents better. I can't remember reading a single book, and I've read many, many books on that topic. So perhaps I'm thinking we got it backwards, right? It makes logical sense because our parents' generation that's dying, they're going to be dead and gone in a few years, so we need to invest our time into the next generation. So we pull all our resources into the next generation and forget about our parents. But God flips it and says, Fifth Commandment is not rear your children in the Lord. No, Fifth Commandment is honor your father and mother. Think about your parents before you think about your children, is what the Bible is saying. I love my children. Right? I'm a father of two young kids, and I believe in education. I believe in rearing them up in the Lord. And elsewhere in the Bible it says that. But perhaps, even more important than that would be for me to honor my parents. Right? Is that weird? Is that uncomfortable? The very fact that we feel uncomfortable about that tells us something, doesn't it? It's telling me something that I never thought of it that way. Come to think of it, in the New Testament, when Paul gives instructions to the Ephesians, he addresses first the children to obey their parents before telling the fathers to discipline and instruct their children, right? Which makes more, again, that perhaps we got it backwards. Now, my guess as to why this is so important, even above that of raising our children, is this. More is caught than taught with our children. More is caught than taught with our children. Where do children learn to obey and respect their parents? Where do our kids learn to respect and obey us? By looking at how we respect and obey our parents, their grandparents, right? My little girls, 6 and 8, Senna and Sari by the name, they learn how to respect me and my wife by looking at how I respect my mom and my dad, looking at how my wife respects her mom and her dad, my in-laws. If they ever see me disrespecting them, disrespecting what should be my authority, what will they be thinking? In their head, they'll be thinking, oh, mom and dad, they're not respecting their parents, so I don't need to respect my parents. And then when they go to school, teachers are telling them something, hey, be quiet, sit there and do the work. Why should I listen to you? I don't listen to my parents. And when the police officer comes and they'll, well, you can't do that. Why should I listen to you, right? Disrespecting all authority. You see, that is why it's a building block, very building block, the most important law that has to do with humanity, because once you disregard that, you're going to disregard everything. And so that's where murder, rape, cheating, lying, all those things come, because you do not subject yourself to another human authority, which is ultimately the representative of God. We'll talk about that more in just a bit. So, that's what I notice about this, that the emphasis is on dealing with the parents and not on dealing with the children. Now, but there is a greater reason for this law than to preserve human society. I think The ultimate reason why this was law was given is because God knew that in our children's minds that we, the parents, are going to be the representatives of God. You know, kids can't help it. As soon as you mention the word God, you know what they think of? God is simply a bigger version of parents. After all, God the Father is called a God the Father and not God the uncle or God the aunt, right? And as soon as we say the word God and he is God the Father, they're thinking, oh, he's like my dad, except he's bigger and stronger. And so that means our goodness, if you're a good parent, it gets exaggerated and it gets magnified, but also your flaws get magnified and exaggerated. Whatever they don't like about you, and when they hear the word God, oh, God must be like this. If you're a stern father, they're going to be thinking, oh, God must be, oh, you know, he's going to zap me as long as I do something wrong. Because they project that image of God unto us. And so we are representatives of the Almighty God to our children. And so the most important thing for us to do is for our children to learn to honor us. From that, they will learn to honor God, and everything else will follow. Okay? It is selfish for parents to want to become our kids' friends. I just want to be your friend. I just want you to like me. Right? Be their parents. Right? It's not about you. Okay? It's not about you. It's about your kids. It's about God. Those are the things that I've noticed. Number two, Roman numeral two. How to honor our parents then? Three things. Number one, we honor them by our words in front of them and behind them. The word honor in Hebrew means to treat it with weight and seriousness and not lightly. Okay? That's what it means to honor, weight. It means that the way we talk to them and about them must show our respect and weightiness and honor. That we cannot treat them lightly or flippantly. You know, I know this would be more difficult for those of us whose parents have been less than honorable, right? Because all kinds of baggage is here, displayed, right? All kinds of thoughts and all kinds of histories are going through your mind. You know, but that doesn't mean that we return the favor and dishonor them, right? That would only perpetuate the cycle. Just think. I had to think long and hard about this. Would you like to have your children or your future children treat the way you treat your parents? Would you like to have your children or your future children treat you the way you treat your parents? What if your children will treat you exactly the same way you're treating your parents right now? And they're talking to you exactly the same way you talk to them. Or they talk about you behind your back exactly the same way that you talk about your parents behind their backs. Now, my kids are not going to do that because I'm so much more reasonable than my parents. Or my parents, you don't know my parents. They were unreasonable. And that's why I'm going to be nice to my kids. Yeah, good luck with that. 20, 30 years from now, you think your kids will be different from you? Because they've watched you talk about your parents behind their backs. So what makes you think your children are not going to repeat the same thing? Right? Your parents thought the same thing, by the way, right? About your grandparents. That when I become a parent, I'm not going to say those things to my parents. And my kids are going to talk nicely. Are you saying nice things about your parents? What makes you think you're different? I'm under no illusion because I've been a youth pastor for 17 years that my kids, when they become a teenager, they're going to love me and adore me and they're going to listen to everything that I say. Absolutely not. Right? We just need to bow down and pray to God that God will put a spirit of life in them. So, We honor them with our words in front of them and behind them. There's a story of an old man who lived with his son, the son's wife, and their four-year-old boy. And the old man's hands shook. One day it was shaking so badly that he was spilling his food on the tablecloth and onto the floor. And the young mom was so incensed that she decided to move him away from the family table and have him eat by himself in a little corner by himself. And he was doing this day after day, and then one day his hand was shaking so badly that he dropped the bowl and breaking it. The young mom got up and screaming at him, saying that, if you're a pig, then I'm going to give you a feeding trough. And so the dad made the feeding trough and gave it to this old man, and so he was eating by himself in the corner out of the wooden feeding trough. A few days later, they saw their four-year-old son playing with some wood in the backyard, and the parents asked the young son what he was doing. And the young son's reply was that, "Mama and Daddy, I'm making a feeding trough for you and Daddy to eat out of when I am big." Scary, isn't it? Whatever they learn, however they learn from us, how we treat our parents, they'll treat us. So the golden rule, right? We all know the golden rule. Treat your parents the way you want your children to treat you. Treat your children the way you want your children to treat you. Do you want your children later on to put you in a nursing home and never visit you? And don't do that. So, by our words, in front of them and behind them. Number two, obey them in the Lord. How do we honor them? Obey them in the Lord. Now, this pertains obviously more to those of you who are living with and under your parents, who give you almost daily instructions. And so teenagers, if we have any, or young adults still living under with your parents, this applies to you, so listen up. You know what will make your life easier and better? You know what would have made my life so much easier and better and not have so many years wasted? If I had listened to my mom and dad the first time, right? Had I listened to my parents the first time they said it, it would have saved me years and years of grief and delay in development, and it would have gone so much better for me. And you know, if you're an adult, that that is true of you, right? So, but the problem is, how do we convey it to our teenagers, right? Because they're thinking, you don't know, right? Look at the way you're dressed. You're old-fashioned. You're boring. I don't want to do it your way because my life would be so boring if I did it your way. And then years later, right, they realize, oh, well, I guess they were right all along. I just want to see a generation. Thought occurred to me, right? This is young people's thing, right? They just hate copying their parents. Whatever the parents do, they want to do the opposite. So some parents, they're smart, right? So you know what they will do? They will go out and drinking and partying because they want their children. They know that their children are going to rebel against it. And now seeing their parents drinking and partying up, oh, I don't want to be like my parents. I'm going to be a good little boy, stay home and not do any of those things. And I heard like that actually works. You know, I mean, they just want to do something that their parents have not done. I mean, it's just rebellion is in our heart. That's the sinful nature that is in all of us. That's Adam and Eve, right? We want to do exactly opposite of what everybody else has done. But has it ever occurred to you, teenagers, right, or young adults, that you're doing the exact same thing every generation of teenagers and young adults have done, which is that I'm going to do the opposite of what my parents told me to do? You know what would be really different? What would be really different is for you to think, you know what? I'm just going to listen to them and try to be exactly like them. Then you'll be different from every other generation of young adults and teenagers who try to be different from the other generations. Right? What if we learned it before we made the mistake? What if we learned from our parents' mistakes rather than making the mistakes, same old mistakes that have been made for centuries over and over and over and wasting our time and wasting everybody else's time and your time? Right? So obey them. Obey them in the Lord. Lastly, how to honor parents? By becoming honorable ourselves. By becoming honorable ourselves. The best way to honor our parents is to become the man or woman of character that they would be proud of. When I was serving at the Korean church, I used to preach every Wednesday morning at 6 o'clock because they have what's called early bird prayer meeting. Monday through Saturday, every morning at that location, people would gather for about an hour or so, and they would have worship, and they would have songs, and they would have a message, and then they would go through some kind of prayer every morning, Monday through Friday, Saturday. And so Wednesday was my slot, and so I used to go there, preach, you know, that slot. My parents went to one early bird prayer a week. And guess which day of the week? Wednesday. To see me preach. I mean, he wasn't really for getting up early and going to church and you know, and that, but he did go to the one that his son was preaching at. Now, he wasn't a Christian. When I became a Christian, and when I even dedicated myself to become a pastor, but he came around eventually and became a Christian, and even when I told him and my parents that I was going to be a pastor, they weren't too excited about the idea. Let me just put it that way. Because I already had a master's degree in engineering and I was working for a firm, working for a company. And when I said I'm going to give all of that up and become a pastor, they weren't too crazy about that idea. But you know, I know now that he is proud of me, right? Not because I'm earning a lot of money, because I'm not. Not because my name is out there, because it isn't. But because I am striving to be the man of God, and there's that character that is in me that can be seen by him. That I'm not out there doing what a lot of people in this world do. That I'm striving to live for other people, right? And my dad sees that, and I know, even though it's not in his culture to speak it out, say, I'm proud of you, I can see by the way he looks at me, right? What will make me proud? What will make me feel honored regarding my children? That if they got accepted into Harvard, Yale, became a doctor, lawyer, or engineer, that I would be proud? No, absolutely not, right? If they're living a lifestyle that is not godly at all, I don't care what they become. They may not earn a lot of money, may not be a reputable thing, but if they are godly, if they love Jesus with all their heart, soul, and mind, I'll be so satisfied and proud of my children. And that is the best way, I believe, to honor our parents, by becoming honorable yourself, right? Being in the Lord. Jesus was submissive to his Father unto death. Not only to his Father, but also his earthly mother and Joseph. And we fail to come on that verse that Joanna read. And you guys are probably familiar with, maybe not. There is one story that is told of Jesus when he was little, when he was 12 years old. His parents took him to the temple and left him there. They didn't know and left. And then they went on a day's journey and then found out that, whoa, we forgot our child. Has that ever happened to you, right? You went to hopefully not, but if you got like six children, then it maybe have happened to you. Anyway, so they went back to the temple to look for this child, and 3 days later, they finally found him, and he was having a theological debate. 12-year-old boy, Jesus, is having a theological debate with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Bible scholars, okay? And then mother blurts out, son, what have you done? Why did you not come with us? Why did you make us come all the way back? And Jesus says something like, don't you know that I'm supposed to be at my Father's house? And then Mary goes, huh? She doesn't understand. In other words, at this point, Jesus has already surpassed her maturity level and her intellectual capacity. Jesus is way above. I mean, he is the Son of God, right? But you know what the Bible says after that? It says that, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. Was submissive to them. We do not submit to our parents because they are more intelligent than we are. We do not submit to our parents because they know more than us or even wiser than us. Sometimes they're flat out wrong. But unless they're telling us something that is directly against God, we submit. Because by submitting to them, we are really submitting to God, because they're God representatives, right? Because Christ has done it. So let me finish. Philippians 2:7, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. This is talking about Jesus. He became obedient to his Father to the point of death, even death on a cross. You know why Jesus died? Why did Jesus go to the cross? We ask our children, what is the answer? Because he loves me. True, but that's secondary. There's a more important reason why Jesus died on the cross. You know why? Because he was trying to be obedient to his Father. You see? His allegiance was with his Father first. We are secondary. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Yes, that is true. But really, he was doing it as an obedient act unto his Father. And we are the beneficiaries of that. How much more as an earthly father or mother that if you're obedient to your own or submissive or honoring your parents, that our children will see that and honor you in turn and honor God. Let's pray.